everyone, and welcome to what remains of America after Election Day 2020. It's a fraught time, you know, but I'm feeling pretty good and excited for what looks like it's almost certainly going to be a big news Wednesday with JR Jackson. JR, how's it going?
Well, it'll be a speculative big news Wednesday, but you know, still big news nonetheless. I'm here for it. I'm down. A little bit tired.
I mean, canceling. That's true. I can't even imagine you, because I went home before you did. I only got 5 hours of sleep. Did you sleep last night?
4 hours, I think.
Oh, okay. That's probably not enough. Something is going to get me through. I don't know what, but something is going to get me through. I might be a little bit twitchy today. But you know what? I am comfortable. You know why I'm comfortable? Because I'm wearing the newest shirt available at Shop TYT. I might be wearing it prematurely, but I am wearing the grabbed him by the ballot shirt, which I would only wear if I thought that there was a good chance that Trump was going to lose in the election. That is how I'm feeling today. So right now at Shop TYT, there are two election themed shirts that are now up, the grabbed him by the ballot and available in multiple colors, as well as the you're fired shirt. Soon we'll all be able to tweet it. We can wear it now. Soon we'll tweet you're fired. But anyway, thank you to everybody who's already here, whether on YouTube or on Twitch. Please like the stream, share the stream, hit the heart, whatever it is that they want you to do these days. Maybe we're live on Instagram. I don't know. I know that we have an Instagram at instagram.com/thedamagereport. If you're there, do whatever Instagrammers do. But anyway, we're going to be talking about a lot of news. We're going to catch up a little bit on last night. We're going to touch base with how things are looking this morning. And you know, spoiler alert, they're looking pretty good. And there's a little bit of other news besides. So with that, JR, are you ready to jump into this thing?
I think we should.
Lots to get to. Oh, and you know, feel free to send us comments, tweets, twitchies, all of that. We'll be responding as we go. But with that, let's do this thing. Last night, with the election very much not decided, Donald Trump did something that no one could have predicted. Indeed, no one did predict. He tried to cast doubt on the outcome. Take a look.
We won states, and all of a sudden, I said, what happened to the election? It's off. And we have all these announcers saying, what happened? And then they said, oh, because you know what happened? They knew they couldn't win. So they said, let's go to court. And did I predict this, Newt? Did I say this? I've been saying this from the day I heard they were going to send out tens of millions of ballots. Yes. I said exactly. Because either they were going to win, or if they didn't win, they'll take us to court.
They said, ooh. So look, that's obviously, JR is like physically in pain. I can see from his monitor. So look, that's you know, very predicted. We'll get into all of that really fast though. Is that the clearest example of projection you've ever seen in your own life? He said, we can't win, so we'll go to court. That's what they're doing. What are you talking about, dude? We're not saying we need to go to any court. We're just saying count the votes. There's no court cases. He is literally the only one talking about going to court. Indeed, in a couple of minutes, we're going to show you the continuation of the video where he says he's going to the court. That is projection so clear, you could watch a movie on the side of your garage with it.
The advisors that came up with this scheme, because they knew this is the only thing they had left to pull, were sitting backstage wherever they were watching and went, Donnie, you messed it up. You're not supposed to say they're taking us to court. You're supposed to say that we're going to take them to court because they're cheating. Ah, simple, stupid. They're sitting back going, no, it's a simple one, two sentences, Donnie. Just two sentences. Yep. Get them right.
Couldn't do it.
He couldn't get it straight.
Yeah. And that wasn't it. That was weird with the, ooh, I don't get it. And you probably already heard, like, I'm congested and dealing with it right now, but that dude is sniffing like a madman. So we're going to show you another video, and I want you to check how sniffy he gets as he's doing the, you know, very serious work of trying to replace American democracy with something else.
So we won there. We lead by 76,000 votes with almost nothing left. And all of a sudden, everything just stopped. This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. We did win this election. So our goal now is to ensure the integrity for the good of this nation. This is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list, okay? It's a very sad moment. To me, this is a very sad moment, and we will win this. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won it. So I just want to thank you.
Okay, I'm just judging by the sniffing, but I have a feeling that his lungs at this point are basically plastic bags filled with cottage cheese. But anyway, pushing past his lung troubles that he's going to deal with for the rest of his life because he doesn't care about COVID and didn't do anything to stop himself or others from getting it. So JR there, he says it's a disgrace that votes are being counted. Everyone in the room's cheering and they want to go in with the courts and stop those votes from being counted like we said he would.
Yeah, exactly. And as he denied he would do. We knew this was going to come down the pipe. And then, because again, it's his only play. I said this last night. There are campaigns, especially for president, spend a lot of money on pollsters, internal pollsters, not just the ones that we see in news reports and all the time. So they have internal pollsters that are polling and they knew the situation. They knew the possibilities. They were hoping for something different, of course, but they pay a lot of money so they can have this much expertise so they can plan how to, which play to make on election night. This is the last play that's left. Mm-hmm. And we always knew it. So other people also knew what pollsters were thinking and saying. So it was an obvious, easy prediction. All Donald Trump can do now, as he's been planting these seeds of distrust for months in our election system, we already knew what he was going to do. And it's been talked about what he's going to do. Declare on election night when there's this lead, potentially this lead because of in-person votes. They're going to cheat us. And, you know, we have to fight back for this. And then, of course, because that's the only thing he's got, he has to deny it beforehand because that wouldn't be very cool to spring it on everybody. So he has to spring it on everyone anyway. This playbook is tied. Now, number two, from growing up in a black church to being an athlete for most of my life and then just people that like to clown and talk trash in hallways in high schools, that crowd is basically like it's a hype man. So, you know, in black churches, when the preacher says something that hits a point, everybody goes, oh, yeah, woo, praise Jesus. And it amplifies the point, makes it sound better, no matter what he said. Half people may not even heard what he said, just go, oh yeah, man, that crowd is hype. You hear those seven people going, yeah, woo. Or if there's a bully in the hallway and says, hey, I'm gonna beat you up at 2 o'clock. And his boys go, ooh, it makes it sound so much better.
Yep.
That's all that crowd was there to do, to make the nonsense sound like it was legitimate or better or actually something that resembles the truth. None of that existed.
There was a guy in with a salmon colored suit on there. And so look, this is what we're up against, by the way, because Donald Trump knows that these are legit votes that are just being counted. Everyone in that room knows that these are legitimate votes cast by American citizens that have every right to be counted. And everyone in that room agrees, no, don't count their votes. We want power. F American democracy. So as we go forward, things are looking good and we'll give you updates on that. But understand that the other side knows full well what they're doing. Some of their, you know, the randos on Twitter or whatever, they have been successfully duped into thinking that those votes are illegitimate. Donald Trump is under no illusions that the votes aren't legitimate. He's just lying to you. It's as simple as that. And he's lying in exactly the ways we said that he would. So I want to fast forward to this morning. So to the director, you can skip the first of those graphics. I'm going to go to his second one starting with last night. But we went to sleep knowing that the outcome is likely to change as more votes are counted, especially in states like Pennsylvania, where we've been saying this is how things would happen. No one should be surprised, but one person has to pretend to be surprised. And that person is Donald Trump, who woke up tweeting, last night I was leading often solidly in many key states, in almost all instances, Democrat run and controlled. Then one by one, they started to magically disappear as surprise ballot dumps were counted. Very strange. And the pollsters got it completely and historically wrong. So I don't know if those two parts of that tweet are supposed to be connected about the pollsters getting it wrong. That's a separate conversation that we can have. But understand that he is now pitching the continued count of ballots that have been in hand for days or weeks as mysterious ballot dumps appearing. There's no mysterious ballot dumps. That's not a thing. He's got dumps on the mind, I guess, but that's they're not dumps. They've had these votes. They're just more votes that they're counted. That's it.
Yeah, these are a bit of this strategy process, this process and the strategy that I think his advisors and himself put together. Don't work in this year. Don't work in this age of information. Don't work in this age where people are spread that information before you get a chance to do it. If people aren't able to see and pay attention to everything that you do the way we used to be with elections and with presidents and White House, you don't have as much access to what's going on. You could pull something like this and people go, oh my God, look at that. He said there's a dump. Everyone knows that there's no dumps of ballots because we were able to pay attention before you come up with the lie that's already been disproven beforehand. It's just, I don't know how many more plays you have left. It's you're fighting against reality that everyone gets to see.
Yeah. You got to give him some credit for staying on message for once. There was at least a 50% chance under normal circumstances that him talking about mysterious dumps would lead to him talking about how toilets don't flow enough water anymore. But no, he's on the election thing. He continued tweeting, how come every time they count mail-in ballot dumps, they are so devastating in their percentage and power of destruction? Okay, dude, we're not talking about like white phosphorus weapons. We're not talking about the atom bomb. We're talking about ballots that someone's grandma sent. That's it. They're not devastating in the power of their destruction. You got outvoted in the mail-in ballots. And you have exactly one person to blame, yourself. It didn't. None of this needed to be this way. There's no reason that the mail-in ballots should be going more for Democrats than for Republicans. And in regular elections, they don't. This is the product of a campaign for months to convince Republicans not to send in their ballots via the mail. This is what he wanted. This is what he's getting. And now he's talking about devastation and destruction and all of that.
Yeah, I want you to think about the amount of work, as you point out, the months of work to sow distrust in the election system, specifically the mail-in voting system. And after doing all that, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of planning, it's a lot of money towards it. You know, there was ads, there was press conferences, there's energy put forward. All of this went into, that's work. Imagine he's put this much work into actually taking care of what he's supposed to do. In fact, and actually looking into the intelligence and the scientists and the details of what's going on with COVID and actually maybe doing something about it. Or maybe actually addressing the relief problems that people are having, a problem getting a bill passed to take care of American people, small business, all the stuff that you say you want to do. Where's the work to do that? Yeah. Instead, they put in work to deceive you, to make people think this isn't really an election that you can trust. You might actually have won some votes if you do something for the American people. The energy goes to negativity rather than actual work for the American people. That's how he's looking to win elections. Yeah. You can win an election if you do positive things. Use that, take that same energy and put it to something decent. But he doesn't have that capacity.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, we've been talking like for 7 hours yesterday. We talked about Biden as a candidate and the Dem strategy and all the problems with that. And we're going to continue to be talking about that and the fallout from that going forward. But let's also bear in mind that if Donald Trump had done any work whatsoever, he would have won this thing easily. Like, it could be about the pandemic, it could be about virtually anything. If he even appeared to give a damn, he could have easily won re-election. But he didn't do it because he is a mediocre, lazy person who has gotten through their life being handed things. That's it, basically. And it's a good gig if you can get it. But sometimes during moments of crisis, you are expected to do the bare minimum, and he found a way to not do that. And now he's left in this position where he needs to get the courts to side with him, and he needs to get enough people to be confused about the outcome. He needs them basically to be as confused as he is when he sends tweets like this. What is this all about? Now, you can't see what else is in that tweet because it contains misinformation about the election, as so many of his do, but it's something about supposedly they found 100,000 votes in Pennsylvania and every single one was for him. That's not true. That's not actually what happened, but he's tweeting about it. And then finally, I'm only going to give you one more. This is fairly recently. He said, they are finding Biden votes all over the place in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So bad for our country. Well, it's bad for somebody. It's bad for somebody. It's the dude doing the tweeting. And you know why they're finding those votes? Because those votes were cast. The people wanted Biden, they cast votes. We've been saying it's gonna take a couple days to count those votes. And indeed, that's playing out. He's shocked. He wouldn't have been shocked if he'd been watching the damage report.
Trump is like, bad news, team, bad news. A democracy keeps popping up all over the country. We're supposed to quell this. We're supposed to stop it. What's with these votes? What are those? That's, I mean, to say it that directly and straightforward, you're supposed to hide it a little bit, aren't you? Aren't you supposed to say something like what Mike Pence said last night? We believe in our election system. We always want to count every vote.
He did. Yeah, he had to pretend, exactly. And I'll give him minimal credit for that. There are some people that are getting credit that don't deserve it. Marco Rubio had some tweet about it's not over until the votes are cast. Every legally cast ballot must be counted. And people are like, Marco Rubio, yeah. And I'm like, do you not see what he's doing? He's just playing games with legally cast. That's the exact same thing that Donald Trump is saying. He's just gonna define legally in a way that doesn't have anything to do with the law. Marco Rubio deserved credit. Screw him. Screw him until the end of days.
These aren't supporters that are buying into that BS that Marco Rubio said. I thought you meant like they're buying into it. You mean people who know the reality.
I've seen Marco Rubio
is saying the right thing when he's not.
Yes. There are people who are like, good, good. We need responsible establishment Republicans to stand against Donald Trump. That's not what Marco Rubio is doing. Marco Rubio is seated like a tiny little monkey on Trump's shoulder, agreeing with him while appearing not to. That's all it is.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
I know that across the country, there were a lot of people who last night were just feeling so much anxiety about the vote. Florida turned for Trump and then Texas didn't flip and it was looking really bad and all of that. I personally think we were letting our hopes of a landslide get ahead of ourselves, but whatever your assumptions were, I think that we all have to acknowledge that we have woken up to a map that is looking better and better for Joe Biden as the day goes on. Doesn't mean that Trump can't win, whether legitimately or not. And it doesn't mean that there weren't other losses that were devastating. I'm just seeing right now in the breaking news that Susan Collins got a very gracious call from Sarah Gideon, and that makes me sick to my goddamn stomach. But that said, the developments so far this morning have generally been good. Arizona is still looking like a lock for Joe Biden. We have Wisconsin. Apparently, the vote is done in Wisconsin. Joe Biden is up by more than 20,000 votes. The Trump campaign is saying that they're going to do a recount, which so far, what it looks like, they are perfectly able to do that. They will have to pay for it. I would say, based on my experience with Trump, I would ask for that money in advance. But that said, they can have a recount if they want. And in addition, Maine has been called, or at least 3 out of the 4 electoral college votes in Maine have been called for Joe Biden. We have some other updates, but based off of that so far, JR, how you feeling this morning?
This is the thing. I was just telling my kid this because he's only 8, but in my mind, it's a 50-50. He's way too into it because I don't want him to be consumed with this negativity of our election process. But also, I love that he knows and is keeping track. But he's basically like, so what do you mean is going to happen? I said, what's happening is exactly the way people saw it happen. Mm-hmm. 100%. And the fact that it's going the way people thought it would go is actually okay, because that result was a close looking election, something happening on election day to make one thing look a certain way for Donald Trump. And then as the rest of the electorate votes gets counted, we see the reality of the situation. So yeah. Not much to worry about. I mean, we're looking at Georgia still, and they're mentioning how certain counties and areas that would have normally gone a certain way are still getting counted. So again, as I said during I was in the 2 o'clock hour yesterday during the election coverage. I said, we're gonna be doing this the rest of the week, you guys. This is not election day, this is election week. And we're not gonna fully know till the end. Pennsylvania specifically, we're looking Friday, I think, for Pennsylvania.
So, yeah, it might take until Friday. And we knew every bit of this. And we all swore that we got the blue shift, that we would be patient and all that. But I think a lot of people had their fingers crossed behind their backs when they were saying that, possibly including myself. Because this is really playing out the way that we thought it was going to go. I didn't think that Michigan would be this close, but as of this morning, Biden is up in Michigan almost by a point now. There's only 6% more of the vote to come. And it seems like that vote that's still remaining to come is weighted towards Joe Biden, both in terms of demographically, but also in terms of it being disproportionately the early mail-in ballot. Right now, we're seeing in Georgia, there's an estimated 200,000 votes still to be cast. That's about double Trump's current margin. So it's really gonna depend to, you know, where those are weighted. If they're weighted pro Biden, then maybe he wins Georgia. And if he wins with Michigan and if he wins Georgia, then that's all she wrote. I don't even think at that point Pennsylvania matters. But Pennsylvania is playing out exactly like we said Absolutely. It was going to. So let's just bear that in mind. Trump has still got a good lead, but sorry, you go on.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's the fact that it's going out the way it was and the polls didn't do this and we're concerned or looking for a landslide. So all of the frustration and anxiety from last night from a lot of Democratic voters, it's just hard to watch it. That's all. So I get the anxiety, but it really is what was said was supposed to happen, and it's happening that way. And Trump's response is also exactly that. Now, one small thing about that: when Trump came out and was declaring victory last night, it was obvious it was trying to happen at a certain point before the switch happened for Wisconsin and Michigan, before Biden took those over. He needed at that moment to have it look a certain way, which is also why I think it was Jason Miller, one of his campaign advisors, was upset that Fox News called Arizona before they had a chance to say, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, we're leading all these, Georgia, North Carolina. So they couldn't throw Arizona on the pile, and that threw off their messaging. It's really all it was. It's a messaging thing. And now that it's flipped, it's exactly what we thought. It's ticking every one of the boxes that they said was gonna happen.
Yeah, and look, if you're anxious, I get it. I'm still a little bit anxious. I mean, I'm looking at Georgia, and what I'm seeing from Stephanie Saul is that there's about 200,000 votes remaining. They're coming mostly from supposedly, and I'm looking at the county level data, and it seems true, left-leaning areas of metropolitan Atlanta, which are likely to skew for Joe Biden. Is that enough to make up the gap with just 7%, I don't know. It's gonna be close either way. Maybe that will have a recount too, but we don't know for sure yet. Pennsylvania, we've still got 20% of the vote to count. We've got like a million plus ballots to count, a lot of it being those mail-in ballots. And in terms of those mail-in ballots, it might still go for Trump. That is entirely possible. But from what I saw, I believe that Biden is winning about 81% of the mail-in ballots. So that is going to likely skew heavily in favor of him. We don't know. It looks so far like Joe Biden is going to win. I am hoping that it is not close, that it's not a 270 thing. I don't want any sort of faithless elector or a state legislature deciding to take their 6 votes and give it to Trump, even though he didn't earn it. I want to avoid that sort of thing. But there's still a lot of votes to be counted. It would be great to know right now, but whatever, man, you're gonna know in a few days. By the time you're sitting down and watching the second episode of the second season of Mandalorian, you're gonna have a really good idea of who's gonna be president. And that's not that far off. Thank God, because I wanna know what happens.
Yeah. And okay, as far as the way it looks and how close it was and the frustration based off hoping for a landslide, we're never gonna get a landslide when it comes to racism versus normalcy. Or even a small sense of normalcy, because honestly, Joe Biden could do a lot better. But So I mean, all it is your declarations. I mean, W squeaked by in 2000, I think, or maybe it was re-election. Mandate was the headline. All bold capitalists, mandate. Just say mandate. Who cares? Say, you know what we won? Mandate.
Yeah.
That's all it is. A win is a win, right? The American people spoke mandate and popular vote. Mandate. Just go for it. Just say it. What are they going to do? Fight back against it? And all you do is say, it is another high school easy trick. Scoreboard. Anytime someone wants to say, because guess who does that? Republicans definitely do that, even when the scoreboard doesn't lean in their favor. All you have to do is point and say, scoreboard. Now shut up and we're going to do it. We're going to do these things my way. Yeah.
No, but that's literally the story of last night. That was Trump saying, no, you got to get me out there now. I got to point to the scoreboard while it's still favoring me. And that strategy isn't even looking all that good at this point. Now, yeah, so we wake up to some bad results. The fact that Susan Collins is still going to be a senator is so frustrating. You know, Lindsey Graham having won last night, that sucks so much. I guess his begging for money on Fox News, I guess it worked. And Mitch McConnell is gonna win. And so we may get the most important single thing we need, which is Donald Trump out of the White House. But we still have a country where you can just pledge fealty to Donald Trump and you will get rewarded for it. Doesn't matter what you do or don't do. You can leave people out in the cold to die in a pandemic, tens of thousands ever increasing, and you will be okay. We are a failed state. And I don't just mean that in the standard definition. I mean that in so many definitions. That will be true even with Joe Biden as president. But we can continue to push, and maybe next time with AOC or whoever, maybe it'll be different. But again, it probably still won't be a landslide. I agree with JR. You know, when it's effectively racism versus, hey, maybe we shouldn't run the US government solely to prop up, you know, white supremacist system, I don't think you're gonna have that major of a landslide. But anyway, that's how it's looking right now. I know a lot of people woke up this morning and still were feeling pretty rough. I got a lot of messages from people saying, like, you know, how anxious are you and everything, both from, you know, viewers, but also the people I know in my life who are like, you know, how do you feel? And I don't think that I'm being irrational when I look at the development so far today and say that it's all moving in the right direction. The question will be, does it move enough? And I think the answer is yes, but we do have to wait and see. We have to wait and see if this was a bad decision to wear the shirt the day after the election.
Yeah, the battle now becomes how much we're going to push back against this plan. It's going to be an onslaught of disinformation and more cutting into the credibility of the election process. That's all the play that's left. And they started last night. You think they're going to stop? You think they're going to go, okay, it's Friday. We tried that game for 3 days. It's not going to work. Yeah. Okay, guys, bye. No.
Yeah.
We have a few months ahead of him consistently talking about this is a fraud.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We've been talking so far this morning about the fact that everything that happened yesterday, including Donald Trump declaring victory, is basically what we've been saying is going to happen. But you know who said it best? Basically laying out exactly the way last night, and indeed the next few days will go. That was Bernie Sanders on Jimmy Fallon's show back on October 23rd. Take a look at Bernie laying it out and understand that going forward, he's probably right about the way this is gonna go.
The election is November 3rd, and it's been said that we won't know the results until days later. When do you think we'll know the results?
All right, Jimmy, you raise an important point. And I hope the American people understand it, because this is something I worry about. My view is every vote must be counted. For reasons which I don't have the time to get into tonight, you're going to have a situation, I suspect, in states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, other states, where they are going to be receiving huge amounts of mail-in ballots. And unlike states like Florida or Vermont, they're not being able, for bad reasons, to begin processing those ballots until, I don't know, election day, or maybe when the polls close. That means you're going to have states dealing with perhaps millions of mail-in ballots. Here is my worry. What polls show and what studies have shown is that for whatever reason, Democrats are more likely to use mail-in ballots. Republicans are more likely to walk into polling booths on election day. it is likely that the first votes that will be counted will be those people who came in on election day, which will be Republican. And here is the fear, and I hope everybody hears that. It could well be, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, nobody does, but it could well be that at 10 o'clock on election night, Trump is winning in Michigan, he's winning in Pennsylvania, he's winning in Wisconsin, and he gets on the television, he says, thank you, Americans, for reelecting me, it's all over, have a good day. But then the next day and the day following, all of those mail-in ballots start getting counted, and it turns out that Biden has won those states. At which point Trump says, see, I told you the whole thing was fraudulent. I told you those mail-in ballots were crooked. And I got, you know, we're not going to leave office. So that is a worry that I and a lot of people have.
Exactly. And so he was saying that back in, you know, several weeks ago, back before Axios had broken the news that Trump was going to declare victory, and Trump had said that, no, don't lie, man, I'm not going to declare victory. And then he declared victory. Bernie was right. And we just need to chill and let the vote be counted. We need to unchill if the Supreme Court looks like they are actually going to decide, you know, we're going to take a million votes and we're not going to count them. Then, I mean, you need to be as far from chill as possible. Literally, fire might become involved. But as of right now, Bernie laid it out, and it's basically proceeding that way.
It's 100%. I mean, he even called out the states that we would see this happening in, and the way that Trump would say it, he even gave a time frame of the night. It was I'm not sure. It's almost like he was one of the he was in on the advisor meeting. He's like, oh, I heard them talking about this. They're just gonna set aside all truth and honesty and just go straight down the line and do it this way. And the reason why it wasn't so hard to predict is because when mail-in ballots were happening, they were hinting at this the entire time, from the Supreme Court rushing through this nominee for the Supreme Court, to then disparaging the mail-in voting system, and then actually disrupting the United States Postal Service to actually carry out those disruptions in the mailing system. All that went down just as planned. And again, because we can see it right in front of us, the age of information, there's no more surprises. There's no more, oh my God, look, how many votes are coming in late in the mail? No, we knew that because people did it.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, the same Republicans and pundits who are gonna be like, why is it taking so long in Pennsylvania? Just a few months ago, were saying, no, they can't count before election day, don't let them do that. And the people who are like, you're really gonna let ballots come in after election day that were postmarked before it? A few months ago, you know, when the post office was being talked about, did they want to give money so the post office would actually be able to do its job and get the ballots there on time? No, they didn't want that. They set up a situation so that they could whine. That's what Republicans do. And we're seeing it right now. And yes, it's gonna take a little bit to count these, partially because a lot of people actually voted, which is good. It probably has more to do with Trump than with Biden, and the Dems have messed up the vote in a million different ways. But so far, what it's looking like, the US Elections Project estimates nearly 67% turnout. That would be the highest since the year 1900. More than 160 million people may have voted this year. Now, close to half of them will have voted for Donald Trump. So this is horrifying in its own way. But we are at least somewhat engaged. If America is gonna be torn down and some sort of Handmaid's Tale, a sort of white supremacist Christian theocratic autocracy is set up, at least let's fight it on the way out. Let's not apathetically go into that dark spot.
Yeah, and just
it looks like we're at least fighting.
Yeah, when you see it coming, it's just, there's no more surprises. Yeah. At this point, if you sit back and be complacent about this, you were okay with it in the first place. They didn't have to spring it on you. It's fine.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who voted and a lot of people who are just perfectly fine with a lot of this stuff. I definitely agree. To that point, actually, let's turn now to a continuation of the Trump talk from earlier on. Donald Trump declared victory. We knew he was gonna do that. He did that. We knew how the media needed to cover that, but we were still afraid that some of them would be irresponsible. And so far, they have been, but it's probably the part of the media that we're least surprised to see it in. So when you see screenshots like this last night, Trump declares victory, Biden calls for patience, Fox News knows exactly what they're doing. Trump is prematurely, falsely declaring victory, and Biden is saying, let's count the vote, but they're presenting it as Trump has won, and Biden's like, no, wait, don't give it to him yet. That's not what happened at all. But Fox News knows exactly what was going to happen. They're just sort of going along with it.
Declares victory. Again, and declaring victory, you can put it that way, and then you have your nice, you have your legalese ready of saying, we didn't say he won. We say he declared victory, which is true, but it's also not true for the reality. So you have to put in the reality. Trump falsely declares victory. Trump declares victory when he didn't win. I guess just any of this can be put there just to clarify for the people who maybe aren't following at home.
Yeah, why is that little lower third had this guy says this guy said that. What about like the actual information? You guys aren't calling it for Trump. Maybe weigh in and say neither of them has won yet. But no, they're going along with it. And that has continued. You have this, I'm not gonna play the clip in this case, but Fox News talking about how counting all the votes is not necessarily as good as it sounds. No, they're literally doing that. If you watch that clip and it's available at Media Matters, they are trying to pretend that lots of votes are suspect in a way that they are 100% not suspect. But I only bring this up so that you know going forward, whatever Trump does, whatever votes he wants thrown out, whatever challenges there is going to be an echo chamber on Fox saying that he is right. And there, notice who's in that screenshot. That's not Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. That's Brett Baer and Martha McCollum, I believe. That's their supposed straight news anchors who are already preemptively saying, well, you know, a lot of votes suspect. It's really gonna be up to the courts, who knows? It's not gonna be up to the people, certainly. But anyway, there have been apparently behind closed doors, some Republicans who at least say anonymously, like cowards, that they don't like what Trump did. Here's a short clip. This is CNN's Jamie Gangle talking about some of her Republican sources in the White House, how they responded to Trump's declaration of victory last night.
Bones, what was going on behind the scenes at the White House?
So as a Republican source said to me, this is a senior official who is normally an ally of the president, said that Trump had a temper tantrum last night, that he saw that the numbers could start going against him, that he wanted to declare victory while he thought that he was ahead. And this, you know, as you've been saying, John, this was not a surprise to us. The White House had been sort of forecasting for weeks that this might happen. But here's the thing, we know how to count votes, as you've been pointing out all morning. What the president did last night was sow chaos, confusion, undermine democracy. And I will tell you, the Republicans I spoke to this morning are not happy with him. Let me read three quotes from three different officials. The first person said he is behaving as expected badly. The second person said that Trump is afraid of mail-in ballots. And the third person said that what he said last night was, quote, indefensible.
Okay, so, and these are very strongly held beliefs that those unnameable Republicans hold, and they will only give them under condition of anonymity. But I guess they believe it secretly behind closed doors.
I'm so over I'm pushing back on the president as a Republican. I'm gonna push back on the president anonymously, quietly, not really whispering to CNN so he can quickly say CNN fake news like I've been telling you for the past 4 years. We know the game. So if you're a Republican now, conservative, wherever, and you decide to come out now and act like you have something, you have opposition to what he's now pulling, I don't wanna hear it. I really don't care. The degree to which I don't care about your newfound reality and how much you just woke up to what the president is doing, and I can't back that. If that first Republican that said he's reacting the way that we would assume badly, if you assume he's gonna react badly, why are you still supporting him? You assumed it before he did it. So did a bunch of Democrats and a bunch of people who were opposing him. So people who opposed him said, he's gonna do this, it's a bad thing, I oppose him openly. If you knew he was gonna do it, why are you still backing him up? Doesn't that make you one of the bad guys?
But yeah, well, it's yet more evidence that they are. But Why are they acting surprised? Like these Republicans who won't name themselves, they're in the White House. It's indefensible that he said that. He had a temper tantrum. Okay, yes, he did have a temper tantrum. He's an emotional, wild, reckless idiot. But we knew it was gonna happen. It was a scheduled temper tantrum. They had it in his official schedule. He's gonna lose it. No, we knew it was gonna happen. How did you not know it was gonna happen? How did the straight news anchors on Fox not know that it was gonna happen? Ben Shapiro even tweeted something to the effect of Trump's wrong, we should count all the votes, which is good, I guess. If Trump gets a billion votes canceled by the Supreme Court and illegally stays in the White House, Ben Shapiro will totally go along with it. So let's not give him too much credit. But how is he? He seems kind of surprised. I don't understand how anyone doesn't get that this was going to happen and they're still acting like taken aback by it. I guess Fox News, they have an agenda, obviously, so you can't necessarily take their reactions as you know, being honest. But this was the most, this is the most obvious plot twist ever, and so many people still seem very taken aback by it.
No, they're not. This is the party of people who like to point out about how if you jail everyone that's done any kind of petty crime, that it's a deterrent and no one else will do it. This is ones who said it was a deterrent to separate kids from their parents at the border, migrants coming up looking for some kind of refuge from things they were seeing in their own country. So if you already believe all that, you know that you believe that consequences for things or a deterrent for people's actions is some kind of consequence, why don't you think it applies to him? You've let him off the hook in every moment, every horrible thing he's done, you've endorsed. Why would you think he would suddenly have any kind of thought process that this is the wrong thing to do? You haven't taught him that lesson yet. There's been no deterrent so far. Why would he start now? No, because you know how this works. You know you've endorsed him. You know you've pushed everything he's done on the side. You've done it as what you agree with. Now you suddenly don't agree anymore. Get out of here. It's madness.
Yeah, and you look, there's so much more that we could show. Honestly, I had to do sort of live videos this morning on, you know, as the electoral returns were coming in. So honestly, I don't know, how is Fox and Friends covering this? What are they saying about those challenges? I don't know, but I do know that from what we've seen, Fox News is lining up behind Donald Trump. You had Chris Wallace like briefly said, this is incendiary, what he did and all that, that's good. Chris Wallace is apparently the only good one over there. But the rest seem to be lining up. We're gonna have to see. I have a feeling that the nighttime leads on Fox are gonna be fairly clear in supporting Trump and getting rid of as many votes as possible, but we will have to see. Things are still really anxious in the election, but they could have been much worse if certain awesome candidates had lost. But I am here to tell you that none of them did. With the world anxiously awaiting the results of a presidential election that some have called a matter of life and death, the four progressive congresswomen who burst onto the national political scene in 2018 and quickly became known collectively as the Squad expanded their informal team in the US House on Tuesday by at least four. So not only do you now have, you have Ayanna Pressley, AOC, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib, you now also have Jamal Bowman, Mondaire Jones, as well as Cori Bush and Marie Newman. Three of those four have been on TDR. We got very close with Cori Bush yesterday, but we had audio problems, but hopefully we'll be talking to them more in the future. But there now we have a doubling of the squad. We have additional Justice Democrats coming in, great progressives that are hopefully going to be out there putting pressure on the points where pressure needs to be placed. So that is very good news. Losing any one of those would have been devastating. Congratulations to the Republicans who set fire to millions of dollars trying in vain to take down Ilhan Omar and AOC and Rashida and all that. But JR, at least that didn't happen.
No, it's good. And I've been saying this since the original four were elected, was we need the re-election before I feel good enough about this confirmation of people accepting the reality. You know, we know that the policies are on our side when it comes to these types of candidates and these types of Congress people. We know that. We need that confirmation from the rest of the country that they understand it, or enough of the rest of the country understands it, and they continue to be put in office. But on top of just reaffirming the original ones, then we get some additions. This is even better. And you know, and actually pretty much expected. That's the whole point. When you know the truth, when you know that the actual agenda items are on your side, things that Americans need, you really shouldn't have to worry about it because it'll speak to people. That's the whole thing. You say something as a politician or you propose something and you see the way people respond to it. or look up and go, man, that actually really helped me. That's how it's supposed to work. It really shouldn't be that hard to connect with people in a representative government.
Yeah.
They tell you something, you talk about how it may work, and then you do it because you represent them. Crazy how that works, you know? And then after you represent them and their life gets better, they come back and vote for you again. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, every Republican around the country thought, well, obviously Ilhan Omar is going to be voted out, clearly. I hate her. I hate her more than I've ever hated anything. Why wouldn't she give it up? No, she very comfortably was reelected. AOC very comfortably. They're doing fine. You know what? They're very popular because they deliver. And now there's more. Very excited to see what Cori Bush does. Cori Bush tweeted this out, which I just loved. The first. And she is the first black woman to represent Missouri. How the hell is that possible? It's Missouri. And of course, the answer to those questions is very obvious. But if it had to be someone, this is a good person for it to be. And think about her path from starting off as an activist, coming out of Ferguson, and then trying once and coming very close and now getting elected. That is the path. It's not always super smooth. Sometimes there's little bumps along the way, but now she's going to be in Congress. And you know what? We've now got an increasing bench of awesome progressives in Congress that are going to be running for Senate eventually, or for governor, or for president. This is how we win. We obviously focus, for very understandable reasons, on things like Biden versus Trump. That is a battle. We need to engage in it. But there are many battles being fought simultaneously, sometimes by names that you don't know, that I don't even know. But they're working their way up through state government, getting in a position to run for Congress. That is what we need. We need a web of candidates all across the country moving in the right direction. Cori Bush is a great example of that.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have messages from Ayanna Pressley tweeting, "Together we have fought for our shared humanity. We have organized, we have mobilized, we have legislated our values. I am so proud to be your congresswoman and your partner in the work. I believe in the power of us, and we're just getting started." AOC, you know, thanked her district for reelecting her. You know, obviously, if she had lost, I probably would not still be doing this job. But anyway, you have Ilhan Omar tweeting out, "Our sisterhood is resilient." I mean, how much do you love that? Oh, God, absolutely. Think about how much hope they've given us over the last few years. And now we've got more years and we've got backup for them too. We've got Jamal Bowman saying, "Wow, I'm so humbled to be the next representative of New York 16. Thank you so much. Ready to get to work to disrupt the status quo and deliver for our families. Hold me accountable. Push me and my colleagues. I'm going to need you in Congress with me. There's so much work to do." So awesome.
This is how I think, to address that one person about the third party, or you know, developing a third party. It's a slow burning process. I'm sorry, it sucks. This is the way to change over the people that are in office. We just picked up several more, you know. So the people in office are the way to take over and modify and enhance this party, rather than just jumping around and trying to do another one that has to gain traction, which may take longer. Again, think about it. Since the beginning of this nation's birth, there has been politicians put in place to disenfranchise or not represent certain folks this whole time. And the slow burn to change that, to actually change that, it can't happen in one cycle after it's been our entire history to do the exact opposite. The culmination of power that has been built up to not represent Americans. It sucks, and I'm frustrated by it too. It's not gonna just change overnight off of two elections. It's not. So keep building and keep staying engaged, because the people who want it to stay the way it's been are definitely staying engaged because they're invested in it.
Yeah. I apologize, JR. I'm getting updates about breaking news. So informally, let's talk about this as we process it in real time, as we're gonna be doing over the next few days. Apparently, breaking news from The Guardian, the Trump campaign has filed a lawsuit to halt the counting of votes in Michigan. Gee, I wonder why, because it's going against him, as we knew that it would. They filed a lawsuit to halt the counting. There's a message from Bill Stepien, campaign manager for Donald Trump, saying President Trump's campaign has not been provided with meaningful access to numerous counting locations to observe the opening of ballots and the counting process as guaranteed by Michigan law. "We have filed suit today in the Michigan Court of Claims to halt counting until meaningful access has been granted. We also demand to review those ballots which were opened and counted while we did not have meaningful access. President Trump is committed to ensuring that all legal votes are counted in Michigan and everywhere else." And so they have done this, of course, because Trump is now losing Michigan, and it is likely that he will lose Michigan if all the votes are counted. They have no interest in that happening, and we will now have to see. You know what? The dice have been cast. Do we have a democracy? Or can they use their baked in Supreme Court supermajority to just decide the results for whatever state they need to win an election? Michigan is going to be one ground zero for that. We're also probably going to have Pennsylvania soon. But JR, things have gotten exciting in the exact way that we predicted they would.
Absolutely. I'm going to say it's sticking with the same thing we're talking about. It's exactly what was planned. It's the whole idea. This is what they're supposed to do. So these are the steps on the ladder to take you to that final moment of, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and say it's us. They have to have something they refer to once they get to that end point to be like, well, there was that one legal battle. We filed a lawsuit in Michigan for them to stop counting votes because they were totally trying to screw us over. You're going to find 15 different excuses as to why they're being screwed over in the next half a week. And hopefully they're going to stretch this for their point of view, hopefully. They're going to stretch this for months.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing like right now Biden's lead in Michigan has grown to 34,000 votes. That's about three times larger than Trump's victory there. I think it's actually a little bit more than that now. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Only the final count matters. But it is looking like this is not going to be as close as it was back in 2016 when Trump actually won in the state. And so they can't have it because they absolutely have to win there. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to find as much information as we're going, but
again, like I was saying, the new campaign slogan is stop the votes, stop counting votes, 2020. Mike Pence, Donald Trump, stop the vote, stop democracy, 2020. Throw that on your bumper sticker, throw it on your flag next to Make America Great Again. Stop the vote.
Yeah. Yeah, and they all agree. They all agree. You know, even so, Ben Shapiro had his little tweet that like, I think democracy is okay or whatever, effectively is what he said. Okay, now let's get to the specifics. Do they get to stop the count in Michigan? We'll see if Ben Shapiro has anything to say about that. When they try to not count a million votes in Pennsylvania, is that okay? Well, we'll see in the specifics if he's actually gonna stick to his kind of guns. I have a feeling not. And certainly Fox News is gonna be totally fine with all this.
Ask every elected Republican that. Every time they stick their head out of a hole, ask them, do you agree with the Trump administration, Trump campaigns pushed to not count votes? Do you believe in not counting all the votes of the American people? Do you what do you have against the American people? Just ask them all the questions, because these aren't gotcha or unfair questions. This is exactly who you're supporting. This is what he's doing. Do you support him? We're not moving on until you answer.
Yeah. You know, though, I'm gonna give 1% credit, kind of, to acknowledging reality too. Scott Walker, remember, didn't Cenk, I don't want to throw Cenk under the bus. Didn't Cenk think Scott Walker had a good chance? Was it Scott Walker that he thought had a good chance
in the primary
2016?
Less, I don't think so.
Maybe Scott I'm Walker wrong. I'm probably remembering that wrong. Oh, it might have been Rand Paul. Anyway, it don't matter. They're gonna do the recount in Wisconsin. Right now, Biden is up by like 20,600 votes or so. So Scott Walker tweeted, after recount in 2011 race for Wisconsin Supreme Court, there was a swing of 300 votes. After recount in 2016 presidential race in Wisconsin, Donald Trump gained 131 votes. As I said, 20,000 is a high hurdle. So he is acknowledging that, okay, you can do the recount. And again, if it's within the margin, which it looks like it's probably going to be, they get to do that. They just do. It's probably a waste of money that they won't pay, but they get to do that. It's probably not gonna flip 20,000 votes. If you have a legitimate recount. Now, if you get your lawyers in there and you find some way to take votes out this way over here and then that way over there, who knows? We'll have to see. We'll have to see. The future of America, whether we have sort of the shambles of a democracy or we don't even have that, that is what is going to be determined in the next few weeks.
That's what's on the ballot at this point, straight up. And again, seventh time today, this is what they were planning to do. This is the playbook. Yeah. We've seen it. We already know where we know the next play is going to be a toss sweep left. And the play after that is a deep slant. We've seen the playbook. We know where you're going.
Wow. You know, I'm just seeing this for the first time really fast. Democrats apparently flipped Michigan's Supreme Court by gaining a seat there and defending another. That's pretty awesome. If you're an international viewer, you're probably saying, wait, what are you talking about? Like they like ran for office for the Supreme Court. Yeah, we do that. I guess. That's a thing that we do in some places. But anyway, they also gained a seat on the Ohio Supreme Court. They needed two to flip it. Now it's gonna be 4-3 GOP advantage. Back in 2017, it was 7-0. Jesus. Anyway, thank you to the production team for giving me that update on the count. We'll see, you know, if anything happens. I want to very quickly go through one more story, though. I want to close on a little bit of fun, forward looking, a little bit of fun. Okay. Do we have it? I don't know if we do. Do we? Nice. As the count was being done last night on Fox News, a Fox poll started to trickle in. We had results on a number of different issue areas and what people wanted to be done in these areas. And so I think the most awesome thing that happened yesterday during the election was the five doing their commentary with the sidebar of the results of these polls, showing things like, should US gun laws be more strict, less strict, kept as is, more strict, 55%, less strict, 12%. 1 out of 3 said kept as is, but the majority there wants it to be more strict. That's kind of fun. What about Roe v. Wade? What should the Supreme Court do about it? Should they leave it as is? 71% said yes, overturn it. 29, Jesse Waters. That's him pointing an accusatory finger at every woman in America. What should happen to illegal immigrants? I don't like that that's the way they worded that, but that's the way they worded it. Should there be a pathway to citizenship? 72% said yes. Deportation, 28. The topic of changing our healthcare system to a government-run one, strongly favor, 39%. Somewhat favor, 33%. Overwhelmingly, socialized medicine, very popular in this Fox News poll. I'm gonna stop there for a minute to let JR jump in. We've got other results, but that is a pretty dominating win for full-on government-run healthcare. That's not, do you like Medicare for all? That's, do you want the government to run your healthcare? And they're like, yeah, no, that would actually be very nice. Thank you, sign me up for that.
These socialists that watch Fox News need to go. Can't believe it. What are they doing? They're trying to take over the country. They must be following Bernie Sanders. It's again, we've talked about it constantly. This is the other thing. When the policy is on your side, when you represent the American people and their values and what they need to live, literally, you just might get a little bit of support. It's so weird that you're constantly like you're fighting an uphill battle as a politician. The decision, you make this open decision to not represent folks, and then you have to fight to get them to vote for you. Wow, that's so much harder. Just do it. They're telling you what they want. They're telling you on Fox News what they want. But instead, these guys, I'm not sure what was exactly being said when these polls were up. And you see Jesse Waters pointing like this. You're not exactly sure what he's saying. But at some point, you may think he'd glance over and go, wow, that whole graphic next to me, it ain't working out for me right now. Or someone should clue them in onto whatever it is that the reality of the situation versus what they're pitching. Because
yeah,
it's, I don't know, man. I mean, like we're living in an upside down world.
We are, but remember, the thing is that Fox viewers and their avatar, Donald Trump, hate Fox polls. That's not new, so this will just be added to the pile. But sure. How serious is a problem? Is racism in US society? Very, 49% somewhat, 29%. So obviously, a big majority lead for racism being a big issue. They don't agree there, at least not with the way we would define it on Fox News. How about this? Like the biggest issue for Fox News all year, requiring masks to be worn when people go outside of their homes, strongly favor 60%, somewhat favor 18%. That is as big a lead as anything we'll ever have. They want masks to be worn. Every single Fox News anchor, not every, you know, like Juan Williams is there, like he's good or whatever. The vast majority think that that's the worst tyranny that humanity has ever seen. People watching it or like responding to the poll are like, no, yeah, it's a pandemic, man. You should wear masks, obviously. Even by the way, I'll throw one more out. How concerned are you about the effects of climate change? Very 46, somewhat 26. Majority obviously worried about climate change. So like, I mean, those are the numbers. Like you can't argue against them in theory. They'll find a way. But it seems pretty clear.
This is why the Trump campaign has no platform for the next 4 years. This is why the healthcare plan is blank pages. This is why the rallies go with chance of lock her up, fake news. Can you believe what the size of their crowds are? I will be the one that I'm not sure whatever else there is. Oh yeah, and then you start making fun of people. All those, that's the Trump platform. Because issues, as we just went through several here, are not on their side. You can't talk about issues because you're losing on those. Instead, you have to talk about make-believe things. You have to say what America's going to look like if you lose, when we don't see that. What's actually happening when you're in office? Oh, you can have cities on fire. Where's your policy? How are you going to stop that? What's the reason for it? None of those are there because they lose on those issues. They know they lose on all these issues.
They do. But I want to throw a little M. Night Shyamalan twist at you. This might seem like it's a segment of owning Fox News, which I guess it sort of is. But they're not the only one that these numbers sort of make look ridiculous. You know who else it makes look ridiculous? The Democrats and Joe Biden, because those numbers are dominating wins. Biden is not dominatingly winning. Why is that? Because he either doesn't hold those positions or doesn't communicate well around them or doesn't have solutions for those issues. The platform, in theory, that the Democrats could be running on in terms of the values they can express, the problems, the crises they can focus on, the policies they can put forward to solve those, it's all here and it's a winning platform. And there are indeed candidates who could run on that. We just keep choosing candidates who aren't those candidates. So Joe Biden, if he actually was in line with these results, he'd have his landslide. We'd all have the election day that we wanted to have, but we didn't. And it's not just Biden, it's also our Senate candidates in a number of places. Amy McGrath spent like $100 million and really should have spent it on a private island because it was wasted on running against Mitch McConnell because it wasn't even close. And so this is sort of owning the Democratic Party too. It's all here. You don't need to do the focus group. We already know what people want. Are you ever going to give it to them? That's my question for you.
That'd be too easy, John. That makes too much sense.
I think America could use easy after the experience we've been through.
In every other business, they cater to customers, except for the business of politics. You know, if your local grocery store finds that people if Best Buy on Black Friday knows everybody's gonna buy every cheap TV in there for $25, they're gonna have cheap TVs available for you. Why can't politicians see that people are banging on the door for all these issues that we just went over, and all you gotta do is open the doors and give it to them, and they'll come back the next time.
Well, and some have. As we were talking about with Cori Bush and the squad, some have. Those are winners, those are the future. Unfortunately, those who are not the future, those who are not winners, are virtually all of the leadership of the Democratic Party right now. Great picks in those Senate races, Chuck Schumer and the DSCC. Anyway, okay, with that, unfortunately, we are way over, and I am gonna be doing a little bit of video for AJ Plus with Francesca Fiorentini a little bit later on today. So we do have to go, but JR, thank you so much. Truly a big news Wednesday, a breaking news Wednesday.
Right.
Thank you for joining us.
I knew that was coming. That's why I came on today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If you hadn't shown up, it would have been rough. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.